When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fighting Cock podcast. A rather somber week for every Spurs fan out there. Today I'm joined by Spooky.
Hello. Somber's one way of putting it.
It's a weird, weird feeling, this, isn't it? My week has gone from bad to worse. I've just had to euthanize one of my chickens.
Oh, blimey. With a brick. With a brick?
Yeah, I basically...
Jesus Christ.
It's not funny.
That's what Bayern Munich did to us the other night. Smacked us on the head with a brick.
I did. There was a beautiful synergy between the two events. It did feel like, as I was smashing this chicken's head in to a concrete ground, that... you know, it reminded me of what was happening on Tuesday night, as from the park lane, about 10 feet behind the goal, watched 5 goals go in against Hugo Lloris. It was horrible, but yeah, I don't recommend any sort of euthanizing animals at home. It's not a great experience.
Or watching Tottenham, isn't it?
especially because it wasn't really, there weren't really nothing wrong with a chicken. It looked at me funny, so I had to go. it was very sick. I had to go. It was the right thing to do. Anyway, Spook,
yes,
before we break down what happened last Tuesday, we should mention the fact that we've reinvented our blog, haven't
we? Yeah, we have. We've renamed it, rebranded it, and the purpose of it is to kind of slowly pull together quality reactionary articles on Tottenham. Not necessarily long blogs, obviously Spooky's going to Spooky, but just in terms of trying to pull together reaction to quotes and news articles and news, but not in a clickbait type of way.
And the name of the blog's Never Mind the Bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Because so much of football journalism is bollocks.
Well, there's just so much content out there at the minute. Like, everybody's a writer, actual writers, actual journalists. I guess are trying to still own the headlines. And I'm not saying there's not quality journalism out there, but in terms of what supporters want, I guess they want to be reading something that's sincere and from the heart and the mind of a fellow supporter, and not someone with an agenda or a narrative or just someone looking for like a clickbait story about who we're interested in or the other nonsense that we have to sort of kind of swim through to get to the good stuff.
Yes, essentially it's just quality football writing about Spurs. We consider it to be the best place on the internet to read about Tottenham. And obviously some lovely words from your good self, but there's other young journalists getting involved as well.
Yeah, it's early days. We're obviously building something here as well. Just as a caveat, I am actually quite excited about this. If anyone's listening to this and thinking, why does he sound so fucking depressed? Well, apart from Tottenham, I've been sick as well. So I've had a rough week. So my throat is going to crack any minute. So yeah, obviously this is a good thing. You know, I know in this day and age of social media, a lot of people don't have time to sit down and read something. It's all about tweets. It's all about sort of arguing with the next person on your timeline. But I think there's something to be said about maybe sitting back sometimes and digesting something in long form, and perhaps that inspires you to then respond and engage, because it's not just about us pushing out this content. We want people to feedback to us and comment on the articles and maybe even feel inspired to write something themselves. So we're still looking for people to send in their think pieces too.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone who's looking to write for the Fighting Cock, and it has to be of significant quality, because we're trying to aim for something very good here and something that would kind of be people look at and it's respected as a piece of work in its own right. We think we do a good job of the podcast. We want to transfer that to the blog. So you can find that at thefightingcock.co.uk, and on the top there's a button that says articles and it takes you to the blog. If you want to write for us, it's fightingcock.co.uk/write. You can submit your articles there and they go straight through to Spooky and they'll do what you need to do to get them published. All right, on the note of the fact that we've got this new blog, you published something today, didn't you?
Well, by the time people hear this, it'll be pushed live. It's an article. It's a therapy session, to be fair. So basically,
what's it called?
It's called The Seven Stages of Grief. And when I sat down to kind of think about how I was going to process, because look, after the game, everyone's emotions are raw. We know what it's like. And most of the time, I want to be left alone. I don't want to talk about it. You know, like there's this Arsenal supporter that actually approached me the day of the defeat. He came right in he was right in my face, this guy. I hardly know this geezer, right? But he knows I'm a Spurs supporter. He came right up to me and said, "What about that Tottenham result, hey?" And I looked at him, and like, I'm a really polite person, and I kind of just nodded my head. He goes, "I love it. I really love it." And he came even closer to me. I was like, "What the fuck are you going to do, man? I know Bayern Munich molested me. Are you about to kind of touch me in a perverse way, because you're getting so excited with And I then stood there and spoke to him about how, Spurs are in a bit of a mess at the minute. And it's all very political and very... And I could see he was getting happier and happier because he could see my suffering. And I went away thinking, I swear, I should have just punched him in the face. But obviously, I'm a polite guy. I didn't. And I came away thinking, like, how do I sit down and process this, right? Like, writing has always been therapeutic. And I can sit down, I can do a blow-by-blow of the game, or I can look at the wider picture. Or maybe I can sort of try and tap into how everybody's feeling, because everybody's feeling differently. And I guess the seven stages of grief...
What are those seven? Kind of covers that.
Well, there's shock, denial.
There's denial.
Anger, bargaining, depression. Not that one too well. Testing, acceptance. That's it. And I guess seven matches up to the tonking that we got as well.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to go through this, not through the article so much, but these seven stages, because I think all of us have are one of these stages for sure.
Yeah, without doubt.
Experienced them all.
I don't think everyone's gone through all of them, but that's a gradual thing, isn't it, at the minute?
I'm not quite at acceptance yet. I think I'm somewhere between... I'm probably in depression right now.
Yeah, I think we're probably, if we're all honest with each other, we're all probably stuck at that one. I guess with the article, I've kind of tried to... I mean, I've written from my heart. I've not written something that I think people are going to want to read. I just wrote how I'm feeling, and hopefully it resonates and people can work out where they are. I did actually obviously have to write a bit for acceptance, and whether I actually believe in that part of it at the minute. Even I don't even know if the acceptance part makes sense, because I'm still, you know what I'm like, man, I always try and find a middle ground and I try and find a balance. And I don't know whether finding a balance in this type of scenario is even possible, because I think people need to even go black or white, you know, they need to go left or right with this, like stick or twist. So
it was a shocking result.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Like more so than ever. And when I was in the stadium, it was surreal. I was numb, I think, because I was standing next to Ricky and we were kind of chatting, and he helped me to deal with what I was witnessing. I think I helped him as well. But it was almost disbelief. I wasn't angry. I wasn't reacting. I was barely reacting. I mean, when the fifth goal went in, I slumped, because then you realised it was over.
Yeah.
But as they just kept coming forward and bagged another two, and every ball they hit seemed to go in the net. It was a weird nothingness, is what I felt. And people might think, oh, this is a bit dramatic, but I think football means so much, and part of the reason why people react the way they do on Twitter and talk about the game in the way they do after such a defeat is because they care so much, and it is important. And when you're watching a side that you love get humiliated in such a way, in such a severe way, compared to everything good we've experienced, just last May, really, getting to the Champions League final, but then had to, in the same composition, sit through that. It was just a very surreal and shocking experience. And I kind of keep laughing. I don't find it funny. It's just almost like, what the fuck else can I do?
No, I know. I think we're all kind of rabbits in the headlight. Just don't know where to look, what to say, what to think. You know, you can sit in, you can look at the way the game ended and the way the heads completely went, to the point where there just wasn't anything, any type of reaction. And Bayern Munich being as efficient as they are, they just kept coming and they kept finishing with sublime brilliance. Like, you know, on another day, maybe they don't hit the ball as cleanly and as immaculately as they did, you know. But even at 4-2, would you have come away? I mean, the levels of shock, would it have changed the fact that we're still in disarray? There's still players that are not pulling their weight, and we're not pulling our weight as a team. you know, from 4-2 to 7. I know those additional goals make it worse because it's the type of surrender where we don't associate a Pochettino team with this type of capitulation. And it's not even a traditional Tottenham capitulation. Like when we used to lose to United, when we used to lead and we used to give away the entire game, we were rubbish. And what played out was just a better team brushing us aside.
And the thing is, it wasn't even like, it's not like we didn't play well. This is it. Game.
There was half an hour of application, and then it just blue screen. It was gone.
But it was application that resulted in genuinely key chances.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we could have had three goals in that first half, four maybe.
Yeah, we just weren't clinical enough.
You weren't clinical enough, and they were. But there isn't. That's almost like too an easy explanation to say that they were clinical, and we weren't.
Football's really, sometimes it's really difficult to grasp because there can be a 0-0 game, and someone will say to you, "Well, that sounds boring." And it could be like it could be like an incredible game of football when no one finishes, and the same game could be played out again, and it could finish 5-4, 4-3. Mm. You know, sometimes. Like Bayern just were punishing in that they contained, they survived, they relied on us a little bit to miss those chances that we had. But I think there was a belief that they would grow into the game. They believed they would grow into the game, and they would find opportunities and they would bury them. Whereas I think with Spurs, even though we kind of swashbuckled a little bit and there was a bit of tempo and there was one or two players that looked like they were on it, I don't know whether they really believed in themselves that they could own this game and they could boss this game. And it was easy. This is the thing. This is the paradox about the performance, that Spurs looked all right. Munich looked dangerous, but you know, not enough for us to get worried. And then suddenly the game just changes. And maybe the way we went in at half time, that was the thing that broke us from 1-0 up to 2-1 down.
It's just so hard to explain it. It's hard to understand.
It's a mental thing, man. It's got to be, like, even beyond the football. People saying, you know, players are fed up with the way we're training and the same type of formation and this, that, and the other. But the Spurs team of old, I guess, in the past few seasons, they were gritty. They had a bit of metal about them. They dig deep. They were not pushovers, and it isn't even about us being pushovers at this point. It's for some reason everything's eroded and we just look broken on every level. And that's not, you know, God, I don't want this to be like a completely depressing podcast for people. It, as bad as it sounds, you think it's fixable because it's the same group of players. Maybe, just maybe, some of those players are not good enough anymore, you know, in terms of where we need to be, that they can't produce what they need to be producing for the team to work as a unit, which is why the team ain't working as a unit. We've got individuals that we're relying on. But Dombele and Kane and Winks, they can't carry the team on their own. And Winks was left completely isolated. And I mean, I hope Poch has put his arms around him, because that's the type of game that could break a young player. Do you know what I mean? It's just in terms of being left.
He was
tormented.
His errors led.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was bullied. Yeah. He was bullied to fuck. And where was the protection? Where was?
Well, there wasn't any protection in that you're kind of relying on him to be able to control that area of the pitch when he has the ball. So there were, and players perhaps weren't backing him up where they otherwise could have done. But it might have been a part of the tactical plan in order to, you know, allow him to get the ball. Then you break or move into areas where there's space because you trust him. But he was getting, but like, I know he was at fault for I think it was the fourth or fifth goal where he lost the ball just about 10 yards outside the box. But the ball into him, which I think came from Rose, was a hospital, suicide ball.
Yeah.
The ball was given to him and he had two players around him and he had no time to move.
It was ridiculous. Like,
he was poor, Winks. He was poor. And when he's poor, Spurs play poor, Lee. So, you know, if you're losing the ball in that area, it's such a high risk. you know, you might as well be a centre-back losing the ball. And it's a lot of responsibility to rely on a young player, but he's good enough to do it. And we've seen him do it in high-pressure games before, so there's no reason why we couldn't trust him in this game. But he fell apart massively. What do you make of these rumours about Pochettino apparently wanting out, but Spurs won't sack him because it will cost £32 million? Do you think there's anything in that, or do you think it's bullshit journalism?
Oh, no, I can't believe that. I just, I mean, when you think about what he's achieved here, what he's built, it's difficult for me to wrap my head around someone wanting to leave to the point where he sabotages the team and his own, his own legacy. But I can't. I'm even struggling to find the words because I don't know when these are obviously rumours on top of rumours, because there was something a few weeks back that suggested that this is what he was trying to do. And I was thinking, are you really lacking an idea to write a story? Because this is the same manager that they will tout to Man United or to Real Madrid. Why would either of those two clubs want a manager that's trying to get himself sacked by just not playing the team that should be playing or not motivating the players? There might be...
No,
I was just going to say that it may be that there have been internal arguments, or there has been a falling out, or something has happened in the dressing room behind closed doors that Poch can't motivate the players, or they don't feel that they can play for him. We just don't know, and this is, I guess, part of football. Sometimes we've seen it before, haven't we? AVB and Liverpool demolishing us at White Hart Lane, and that night you kind of knew that was it for AVB. Was it 5-0, 5-1? It was just an absolute spanking that we got, and the players had just moved on, given up, because they knew it was coming. You could argue that this is the same thing happening now. You could, like, it's not right for the players to not be performing like this. And with Pochettino, he said all the right things in the presser the other day, and you know, he spoke about the present, the past, the summer, and he's looked ahead and said, am I the right man for the job? He's made a joke about, well, it's up to Levy to decide that. You think, how much of this is now an act? Like, are we really going to start going deep into tinfoil territory? Like, stick the hat on and lose ourselves with conspiracy theories about Spurs not wanting to pay $32 million. I mean, to be fair, Levy doesn't really spend that amount on players normally. But
there's no chance that he gets sacked. No chance, not for $32 million, because that is the equivalent of, you know, that's a large chunk of the Champions League money. Yeah. You know, you'd like sacking him now and spending that kind of money, $32 million as compensation to him, is like more or less qualifying for the Champions League.
Yeah, so
there's no value in that at all. You know, it makes no difference. So if we sack him and finish fifth, you're losing, what's that? You lose the potential revenue of like 30, 40 million pounds for Champions League, and then you've already paid 50, 32 million for Pochettino to be sacked. So that's bordering on 60, so 60, maybe 70 million pounds that it's going to cost the club to sack him right now. Or you stick with him, he gets it right, which even this, in spite of this result, or despite this result, we are going to win enough games in the Premier League to finish in the top six, top four, because I think Chelsea and Man United are weak enough, too weak to finish outside, inside.
Yeah.
So, look, it would make zero sense for us to sack him. Zero sense.
I mean, the only way he'd get around that is if someone came in and said we'd pay the $32 million. But can you imagine another club? Has that ever happened for that amount of money, where they've paid the club off to buy out his contract? I can't.
What, like, if he was to leave? If Real Madrid were to come into him, if Zidane gets sacked, he hadn't asked to leave, and Spurs agree, We'd still have to pay them the money, unless, like you say, unless Real Madrid agree to pay that clause and compensation.
Yeah,
to Tottenham.
Exactly. That's the compensation.
It's going to cost. To get him is going to cost a fortune. You know, could you see Levy accepting anything less than 25, 30 million in compensation?
No chance.
The length of his contract. So there are some people, I'd imagine, out there in denial, Spook. What argument would a Tottenham fan in denial make, do you think?
Probably the fact that Bayern Munich finished with so many exceptional finishes that they were completely clinical, that they took their chances. Because like I alluded to earlier, if we had lost 4-2, you'd come away, there'd probably be less less shock, less of a wake kind of vibe about everyone thinking this is the end now. It's just that number seven, man, it's savage, isn't it? You know, especially when you think back to us laughing at them lot down the road for losing over two legs, 10-2, you know, and we've now conceded seven at home in the new stadium, and it's just in the history books forever, regardless of, you know, what happens after this point. I think people that, I mean, even I'm the most, I wouldn't say happy clappy, but maybe I am, but I'm a positive guy. I want Tottenham to achieve the best they possibly can. And why would I not want this guy, Pochettino, who practically recreated us, reinvented us over the past 5 years, not to be given a chance to correct his errors? And, you know, you can sit here and say, well, this is 9 months in the making. You can sit here and say he's not correcting his errors, he's stubborn. You'd have to entertain all of that, really, if you're going to sit down and have a conversation about it. I think any Spurs fan that says, you know, blindly, it's going to be fine, just believe, I can't see how we can use that line at the minute. Even me, and I'm a big believer of belief, I don't see the belief in the players right now. And you start questioning whether Poch believes in the players as well. So it's people in denial to the point where they're saying it's fine, let's get Brighton out of the way. I mean, that's fine. I agree with that as well. We're as good as our last game. At the moment, we're as good as that defeat, which isn't very good at all. You have to question what is going on, and I guess if you're not questioning it and you're thinking it's going to sort itself out because they're all smiling on social media in pictures at the training ground, that's too much fluffiness even for me at this point.
I think everybody's in the same position, and we got a message from a bloke on Twitter. I can't remember his name. Bobby, I think it's something along the line. And he, to paraphrase him, he said, look, you guys can't come out with a podcast again, like trying to spin this and do happy clappy and, you know, try and find the positives in this, because you're going to lose the respect of your listeners and all of your followers. You're going to lose lots of followers. And first off, I was like, mate, do you know what I mean? Fucking, I'll do what I want, ultimately. It's been so long talking into this fucking microphone. Please don't tell me what I can and can't say. But he's right in this instance. Like, you can spin anything to make people feel a little bit better, but in this instance, it's tough. And it's not on us. It's not on the fighting cock, or it's not on just fans to spin this. For the first time since Pochettino took over, it's on him. It's on the players to react so that we feel better about our football club. It's all on them. And this is the first time I can't... There's no, what can I say? There's nothing I can say to defend what we saw.
Yeah.
It's nothing. No. There is nothing. And I don't want to have to produce this podcast, like this type of podcast. I don't want to have to pick... I don't want to have to do it. I honestly speaking, I didn't want to come here and sit down and sort of relive that.
Man. I know.
I said I didn't want to do it, but
I didn't want to write the article either. But
mate, when I read your article, I was reading it. I was sitting at the kitchen table and I was like, I've got to read it. And it, I'm not putting anyone off, because it is It more than just a good piece of writing and focusing on something that was very, you know, hurtful and damaging to a lot of Spurs fans, or all Spurs fans. It's a wonderful dichotomy of how football fans react to bad results, and this is the worst, obviously. And like, so it's a piece of writing in itself, and the structure and the idea that you applied to it. It's really it's a really amazing read. But I did read through it and think, fuck, man, this is tough. This is a tough read, because, you know, I've tried my hardest over the last week, or since Tuesday rather, to figure out some way that I'm all right with it. And it's like, it's surreal seeing that 7-2 scoreline. And the only thing I can kind of hold on to is that it was a freak game. It was a freak game where Bayern Munich scored every chance they had, that we played well for 30 minutes of that game and done enough to go at least a couple goals up, but it didn't happen, and they were just freakishly good on the break, and another game they wouldn't have scored as many, and they would have beaten us, you know, 10 times out of 10 if that game played out how it played, but perhaps not as severely. And sometimes you get these freak results, especially when playing someone as good as them. Mm. But it doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't work. Do you know what I mean?
No, of course not. Because it's still 7 fucking goals at home.
Is there anything in that, though, the fact that we did show heart against Southampton, and if this was a freak result, and we can rebound against Brighton, and I think we've got Watford at home after that? That we win our next two league games, if we do, and there's no guarantee because we don't know what fuck's going on behind scenes, that this could be put aside as a freak result and actually things aren't as bad? Or is it that freak result or not, this is damaging and could affect our entire season?
I'm hoping that there were screaming fits and arguments in the changing room after the game or in training today, that there were people having a go at each other, because if they weren't, then how much do they actually care? Like, if they just took it in and went home and kind of rolled up into their mansions and just stuck their feet up, if they didn't have trouble sleeping last night. But we don't know any of this. We're not privy to any of it. You know, sometimes, I think last season it was something where, was it Kane? He was injured and he went into the changing rooms and he screamed at them saying, "This is how you want to be remembered." Was it the Man City game? No, it was the Ajax.
I want to be remembered! That's what he did. Half-time against the Ajax.
Yeah, right? That's exactly it.
And Lucas Moura went, "No!" Nah!
So, like, you...
"This is not how I want to be remembered!"
Oh, if only I could live in that moment forever. But if you hope that's how they reacted to it, because it was hot against Southampton. There was evidence that there is a team there, that it's not as fragmented as we're thinking it is, just off the back of some of the kind of mediocre, lethargic performances. And yeah, it was a freakish game last night, because it could have finished 4-2. Bayern could have just said, "We're going to stop playing now. We've won the game. We've got 3 points."
Yeah, why didn't they do that? Well, but they were having fun. How fucking cruel is that?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but fucking, like, we're already dead. We're on the ground with, you know, blood. We were like smashed. That chicken that I smashed its head in. And it had a name, actually. It was Igor, right? So, you know, you know, like Fight Club, when that geezer dies. Yeah. That's like my chicken. His name was Igor, and now he's dead because I killed him. But that was exactly the same thing. We were this fucked up chicken dying on the floor. And Bayern Munich kept reviving us and then smashing us again.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? They kept us alive. They could have just sat off and sat back.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to, man. Horrible. The worst part of it was the fucking Bayern Munich fans singing, "It's coming home. It's coming home." Fucking arseholes. Man, I don't know, Speak. I don't know. You've got the... what other stages we got here? We've got denial.
Well, we've got anger, but I think we might...
Absolutely. Yeah, bargaining. Let's do that. Let's do bargaining. Is it really that bad? Is it really...
yeah, fuck, yeah,
it is bad.
Do you know what? Oh man, you see, this is why it's so difficult to process shit like this, because you wanna be positive, you wanna find positivity out of all of this, because you feel that if you don't, then what you're doing, you're giving up. You know, people saying, "Oh well, what is faith? What is belief? Like these are tangible qualities in the real world," and well, they are, because being a professional footballer isn't difficult if you're an athlete. It's what's in your head, like in terms of whether you've got the ability, but also how you apply that ability. And at the minute, we're fragile. And people are saying, oh yeah, certain players might have come to the end of the road. They've lost the hunger and the focus, and the urgency therefore isn't there as a team. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But these players are still quality players. They still play for their country. They're one or two are out of form, fair enough, but one or two are not out of form, and they're trying, and they're showing that kind of grit and determination and that desire and that love for the shirt. But together as one, it's kind of all over the place. And I guess the bargaining part is, how many games does it take? How many games do we wait? How many games do we give them? Because I've been saying it one week to the next, like, give it time, you know. Then we had the Leicester result, and I said, let's wait and see what happens. We had Southampton, and we were down to 10 men, and you're thinking, fuck, there's no luck going our way. But we came through it, and you're thinking, okay, this is good. We've got Champions League night now, under the lights, glory night. And you're thinking, this could be the platform, and it goes to absolute shit. And then you're thinking, well, this has just amplified all the problems from the start of the season. I don't know what happened in pre-season, and something obviously happened after pre-season, but between the start of the season till now, the Munich game just amplified everything on a level against an elite club. They're in transition, but the difference between Munich and us is Munich are driving towards change. They want to change. They're driving towards it, and they're gaining momentum, whereas we need a transition. We need to find that momentum. And at the minute, no one has a fucking clue how to reach out and grab it. So,
if you take the imagine the Bayern Munich game didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you do look back at our league games this year.
Yeah.
We have had quite a lot of bad luck. Like, there are moments in games that have gone against us where if they hadn't done, we'd be looking very different in the league now. And there's a couple that pop into my mind. The Aurier goal that was given offside to Son, like, it was millimeter.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't even millimeters.
Pixels, it was pixels on the young VAR. Yeah.
Exactly. And I still think that was insanely unfair, even if it was the right decision. And I want to come on to something, actually, about the goal that we scored against Son. But there was that. There was the penalty that wasn't given that was a dead cert against Newcastle. There was also, in fact, Lucas Moura had two gilt-edged chances and he didn't finish. Then there was the Southampton game that we came through. If we'd have got those two decisions for us, Newcastle and Leicester, we'd have another 4 points, potentially six. And this would just be, fucking hell, that was a mad result. Don't know how that happened, but we're still second in the league or whatever.
Yeah, I think
sometimes the luck needs to go with
you
as well.
Yeah, no, I know. And I think in the past, Tottenham made their own luck, if that's even a thing. You know, they kind of... I guess we're so used, we're almost privileged and entitled now that our failures are slightly more... they hurt more because of the stature that we've reached on the pitch. So when we're having a bad dip in form, it feels a lot worse because there's a capacity to do so much more as a team. That this is, because it's not recognisable the way we're playing. I think we've gone back to the way we were before when we were shit. We thought we were really good, but we weren't. And then it'd go to shit, and then everybody would be screaming for a new manager to come in. So, yeah, how many times have we been up? We've been leading, and we've given away the lead this season alone. We've probably lost about 5 points there. Things could be different, even with the way we've been playing. And that's what people look at. Sometimes they look beyond performances and they just look at the table and they think, well, we're X amount of points behind this team, and you know, it's going to shit. And every season we do this, and every season we somehow make something of it. And it may be that this year it's a lot more serious. It's not just a blip. But you know, it comes back to what you said, that it's the onus is on them. What can we control? We can just support. We can't control anything, really. I mean, we can if we turn as petulant as our neighbours. I guess you can force the well, Levy's not going to fucking listen to us one way or the other. He'll do what he wants. But my point is, all you can do is support and be vocal about your criticisms. They're not going to hear anything. You just got to hope the Pochettino and the players rise up, because I think now, after this result, because it was such a brutal result, there's no, you know, there's where else can we go? Can we fall even further, or can they just prove to us that there is something left there to fight for? And if there isn't, again, I'm rambling. To go back to what you said earlier, what can happen between now and the end of the season? You know, this is the other thing. Like, do we just accept that if we have to go through a rocky period, we just accept it? Like, the club, as you famously always say, it's not going to fold if we have a shit season. We're not going to suddenly be light years behind everybody else if things don't go well. I know football
it doesn't really make much difference. Really.
No, it doesn't. Of course not. But it's something that we have to go through. Like, this team should have won silverware in the 5 years, in the past five seasons. They should have. They deserved it. And maybe if we'd got that Champions League win, none of this would fucking matter now. Pochettino might have even left, and his legacy would be untouched, because it would have been 5 years of graft, and then we get and maybe that's the implosion. You know, they've given everything, they've got nothing.
I don't see Pochettino leaving, and for the reason that it would be a massive blot on his copybook if he just left now. But by the same token, you fix these problems. Most teams fix these problems by sacking the manager, even if he's not at fault. And he may be culpable here, and I'm sure he's definitely... Obviously, he's had a role to play in what's gone on, whether it's not changing his training methods or the messages that he's given to players that have heard them so many times or gone through that session so many times. Mm. You know, because, you know, that's negated by signing new players and bringing fresh blood in who are receptive to his ideas. But you've also got to take a responsibility for making sure you get the best out of every player in your squad. That's his job. And if his training methods aren't inspiring the older guard who's heard them for the last 5 years, 6 years, then it's on you to change. It's on you to motivate him. It's his job.
Yeah.
And whatever happens on this pitch, it's because of Pochettino, not directly. You know, Winks might make a mistake, or there may be some huge defensive error, or Vertonghen might be out of place, or doesn't have the legs to keep up. None of those things are his fault, but systematically they are over a season. You know, we lost 20 games last year. That's, for something so quantitative as that, that's on Pochettino.
Yeah.
Now, he has been hamstrung by the lack of signing players, and that's because we were building a massive stadium. We had no idea about what the final cost of that would be. And Levy has said that he's now investing in the side. And to his credit, we did invest in the side over the summer. What we didn't do is get rid of anybody. And I didn't realise how important that would be. Because in my head, I was like, well, keep Vertonghen, keep Toby Adler, keep Eriksen, because they're great players.
Yeah.
They're great players, like any other, as long as they're motivated. Like, you saw Ronaldinho. You know, one of the brightest talents football's ever seen. Lost interest at football at 27 and he never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation's, like, skill and talent is one thing. Motivation is almost as important. And if you can't motivate these players, then they have to be shipped out. But if you're Daniel Levy, if you're Pochettino, do you have the balls, knowing that it could all go tits up, and if it does, it's on you to sell three key players in the last year of their contract? Because I guarantee you, the same Spurs fans and myself are saying, you know, they're not committed. Eriksen's not good enough. He's not there anymore. If we sold him in the summer, we'd be screaming bloody murder right now. Why did we sell him? Like, football fans have got the beautiful position of hindsight, and we all know everything. That the shit I was hearing in the stadium, It was like I had Pep Guardiola in front of me, like a short, fat Pep Guardiola in front of me, right? Behind me, I had Jurgen Klopp. And then over there, there was like Bobby Robson has risen from his grave. It was this level of insight I was getting. Like everybody knew exactly how to fix this problem. And we're screaming at the players, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like they could kick a ball straight 10 yards. And it's like, you know, I get that people are angry and I get that people want to expel that negative feeling inside them onto the pitch towards the players, because that's what we do as fans, and that's our right, because we pay 1,200 quid, 1,700 quid a season. But the fact is, we don't know our ass from our elbow when it comes to what goes on the pitch. And in that rant, I've lost why I even began talking about it.
It's still beautiful, and you're right. I mean, it's just down. It just comes back down to it again. When we kick off against Brighton on Saturday, it's done. Like, we've moved on. And everything, how we're going to feel at the end of that game is just completely dependent on those players.
I tell you what you will hear, Spook, right? You'll hear the away support louder than it's ever been.
Yeah.
That's what you'll hear. It'll be an amazing reaction from our fans that are going down to Brighton, and it will be loud. And, you know, I wish I was going down to Brighton. I wish I could do that, because I feel like this is a beautiful moment for us to be united and against, like, a finger up at the world, saying like, or European football, Arsenal fans, all the stick we've been getting all week, and all of us have got untold, as you started the podcast with your example and your experience speaking to that mongy Arsenal fan. But this is an opportunity for us to say, no, this is our football club. We fucking love you. And you're not necessarily talking about the players. You're talking about the shirt, because that's the only thing that's important. The reason why we started this podcast, the love the shirt shit, all that stuff, it's important because every player moves on. And the only thing that remains is the crest. The owners move on. And as long as we're alive, we stay. We're the ones that stay. And we are Tottenham. So when those away fans go to Brighton, you're going to hear how loud they are, because it'll be a defiance, a finger up saying, yeah, we have been humiliated, but we're still here. You know, and it's the same spirit of that there was when we got relegated in 78, 79.
Yeah. I mean, imagine today's fan base trying to deal with relegation with Twitter memes and the rest of it. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah, and it didn't have to deal. Football was pure then. They didn't have to deal with that shit. But what happened, for those that don't know, many will know who listen to this, we got relegated from the first division as it was then. And the end of the final game was at White Hart Lane, and we were sent down, and fans invaded the pitch. Not in anger. I'm not going to say wanting to beat up the chairman or to tear the stadium apart. They ran to the touchline and around the tunnel and demanded the players come back out to be celebrated. And there was this famous banner, wasn't it? Like a piece of a bedsheet. Mm. On it, there was on two sticks, there was just a simple explanation: we will return. Because they understood what a fucking incredible football club we have. And what we still have to this day. So when they turn out against Brighton, don't be surprised when you hear Tottenham's faithful away support singing as loud as they have done away from home, because everybody knows that as humiliating as this was, we'll bounce back, we'll get back to where we were, and things will get better. And it is humiliating, yeah? It is humiliating. But when, like, something humiliating happens to a family member or a brother, you pick them up, you dust them down, you say, fuck the world, we'll get on with this together.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is what it is. Like, they can laugh at us, Arsenal fans. They can laugh at us, but they've been humiliated in the past. This will be a horrible blot on our notebook for the rest of our days, but it will also galvanise us. I think we've become a little bit too comfortable with our expectations and the plateaus of what we expect from our team are too high, and maybe this is the reality check we all needed, the players, Pochettino and the fans, to say that we're not fallible, but we are still brilliant. And if this current crop of players ain't up to it, then over the next year or two, they will be removed and a new batch of players who are up to it, who do believe in the cause and do believe in Pochettino will be brought in. And if Pochettino ain't up for it and he wants to leave, then fuck him too. We'll get someone else to in. But the fact is, Spurs will remain and we're big enough and have enough money to ensure that we will never be what we were before Levy took over. We will. There's too much clout behind
it. Yeah, and there's no going back to that, man. And we're a big fucking club now. You know,
big club.
Just we ain't got that silverware, but it's coming.
I mean, coming, not coming, whatever happens, we're lucky to have Tottenham. And you know, despite the fact that they do put us through the mill and through the ringer and all that kind of stuff, you know, we could be fucking QPR. You know, I had an interesting conversation with a mate of mine, James, the dude, the other podcasts that I do with him. And I put it on Twitter yesterday, but I kind of butchered it because I didn't get his sentiment right. But he said it must be so frustrating being a Spurs fan because the attention, and not just Spurs fans, any top six side, the attention when you lose comes from everywhere. Mm. Like, you've got Birmingham City fans giving us shit, Villa fans, everybody, because we're a massive club. If you weren't a massive club, you were insignificant. If people weren't envious of what we've got, they wouldn't give a shit if we got beat 13-2.
Which is why I love the hate we get. Because everybody, we've always said this, Chelsea, West Ham, Arsenal, they're like, you know, they're like fighting each other to be our main rival. Do you get what I'm saying? They all want us to know that they hate us so much. And we're like, okay, we know. Like, everybody does.
Yeah, exactly.
We love it because it means we're doing something right. Even with no silverware, nothing in the trophy cabinet, for some reason, they fucking obsess about us. So
yeah, they're the ones going, you ain't won anything. Like, what? You ain't won anything. Like, that's fine, mate. Why are you talking to me? Don't worry about it. I know we haven't won anything. I'm acutely aware of what success we have and what we haven't. Why are you so caught up in us? Because you're either envious or we're significant. Or both.
Both. It's always both.
Yeah, man. So, you know, fuck it. All right, we got humiliated. We got spat on, essentially, by Bayern Munich. Yeah, that happened. Like, how do you get up? Like, if you're in a school playground and you someone spits on you, what do? You either fight back or you sulk away if you know you're going to get beaten up. There's no way we're sulking away. We could have a horrible season. We could finish 6th or 7th this year. And that's even bizarre saying that.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember us when 7th and praying for a fair play placing.
Yeah.
That we'd somehow sneak into Europe. I remember that. Now saying that a terrible season is 7th. And that is a fucking horrendous season if we end up 7th this year.
Just doesn't even seem right saying that. Or even looking at the table and thinking that's where we'll end up. It just doesn't... You know what I mean? With top four has just become just a regular occurrence now. It's just the standard, the benchmark, which is I guess why people react with so much desperation and frustration when you know, after what, 7 games in the league, we haven't even got to the 10th game yet. Do you know what I mean? And people are panicking already about falling out of the top four. It's just, we've just all got to grow a pair of bollocks, really. Us, but more so the players, and more so the manager.
Yeah.
And they've just got to do. They've just got to prove that they want to change something now, and then make something of this season, because otherwise it will be a difficult season. It won't get any better.
Be difficult, but we've already played. We've played out of all of the really difficult away games. There are probably 7, including West Ham away, right?
Mm.
We've done 2. Like, Man United, Arsenal, most teams will lose to Arsenal at home and most teams will lose to
City.
Man City at home.
Yeah.
So, look, we're not in an awful position.
No.
And, look, it's ultimately fine. Football is secular, it's never-ending, it's existential in the most extreme. And you have to go through tough periods and you'll go through great periods. But I guarantee you, before this season is out, we will have one of those nights or maybe 3 or 4 times during the season where you're in the stadium and you're grabbing the person next to you and you're screaming in their face because you don't know how else to admit what a joyous feeling you're having. That is going to happen this year, and it'll happen next year, and it'll happen the year after that, because we remain a superior and beautifully wonderful football club. And I think on that note, Spooky, we are fucking done.
Yeah, we are fucking done, and Brighton are fucking done on Saturday. They might as well not turn up, mate.
I want to give them a good pumping.
Yeah, you know it.
All right, Spooky, I love you,
mate. I love you too,
man. Go and read Spooky's The Seven Stages of Grief and other good stuff. Constant content, all written content. If you've got time on the tube, you can go and look at our articles and read them on the tube. When you've got time, just kind of process what's going on there, because it's quality journalism. And this isn't a money-making exercise. We want quality Tottenham journalism around Tottenham, not this clickbait bullshit. We'll respond to transfer news, but it'll be done in a quality way, in a way that you'll get something from reading the article other than just the information in it. I think that's fair, Spooky.
Yeah, that is. Love it.
All right. Until next time.
Yes,
Monday,
mate.
I guess.
Yeah. Come on, you Spurs.
Oh, just a quick thing before I end, sorry. For those 30% that are still with us, fucking love you lot. I had a really weird phone call from this producer at Talksport, and he said, "Can you be in London on Friday morning in London Bridge?" And I was like, "Yeah." What's it about? He goes, "I want you to do a sit down in a cafe in London Bridge."
Audio recording or video recording?
No, video with Clive Allen.
Oh wow!
Record goal scorer Clive Allen, 47 goals in one season in 1988. Is that right? 87, 88. Paul Hawksby, obviously royalty at Tottenham Royalty, but also royalty at TalkSport. And former player Jamie O'Hara. So for some reason, they've invited me down to this cafe. fuck knows. I mean, obviously they see the value in the fighting cock. I think that's what it is. But I'm going to be going down and doing that.
Maybe just take a chicken and a brick, just in case it goes to shit. And just sacrifice the chicken.
Does God look down on me, right, for that? Right, and I've smashed this chicken's head in, which I actually really loved that chicken as well. It was a good chicken. It was like really tame, and he'd come up to you and sit on your leg, and my little boy, Will, he would have him on his shoulder. He'd walk around the garden with this chicken on his shoulder like a shit pirate. And it was just a shame to have to do that. I didn't want to. I've basically got this chicken pinned to the ground, and I've tilted its head to the side. It's too weak to do fuck all about it, and I know that within the next 20 seconds of my life I'm going to have to end something else. And I just wonder if God's looking down at me thinking, "I created that, you prick. It took me ages."
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.